It does not surprise us that the book of Luke opens up in Jerusalem, in the temple, with Zacharias giving the incense in the temple. I mean, Jerusalem is one of the great cities of the world, if not arguably the greatest city in the world. It will be the capital of the future kingdom of the Messiah. That's a pretty good argument, that it's going to be that it is the greatest city in the world. What has taken place in the past, you could argue, Jesus dying on the cross and resurrecting from the dead in Jerusalem. That makes Jerusalem a tremendous city. So that the story of the Messiah would start out in Jerusalem, we understand that. We go, okay. But the next section should surprise you a little bit, especially if you have the belief that God works through the grandiose, that God works through the most talented, most beautiful, ready people. And oftentimes we feel that way because we think, God can't use me. If I had a dime for every time somebody said to me, God can't use me, then I would be an extremely wealthy man. I have heard it a lot. But the truth is, God isn't looking for people by this world's standards to use. God is looking for people who will surrender themselves to Him, be filled with the Spirit, be directed and led and guided by Him. Throughout the whole story of the birth of Jesus, in fact, we could even say throughout the thread of His birth, ministry, and death, we find this concept that Jesus works with those that we don't expect. We find that in verse 26 of Luke chapter 1. As it says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, this would be 6 months from him appearing to Zacharias in the temple in Jerusalem, Temple Mount. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now you need to know that Galilee, the region of Galilee, has very little significance in history. Other than it was the ministry headquarters for Jesus, which makes it one of the most significant places in all of the face of the earth. But apart from that, up until this point in time, Galilee has absolutely no significance in history at all, and Nazareth was literally the least among the cities of Galilee. So we could say that Galilee was the least in the of any of the areas of that part of the world, and that Nazareth was the least among those regions. It reminds us of men in the Old Testament who would say, my family is the least in Benjamin, remember, Saul said, and I am the least of my father's family. Why would you choose me? Gideon, when the angel appears and says, oh, mighty man of God, Gideon goes, where? Where? The angel goes, you, I'm talking about you. You are the mighty man of God. Gideon was, not me. I'm hiding inside of a building while I'm thrashing wheat. If you don't know anything about thrashing wheat, you have to be on a hill where the winds blow, so when you beat it, the chaff bounces in the air and the wind blows it away. If you do it inside of a building, you have to beat it and then beat it. And I think that's probably literally how he did it. He probably beat it, the chaff landed on top, and he blew it away, got his handfuls of grain because the Midianites were coming in and stealing it. But the point is, we find it all through Scripture. God doesn't use the sharpest and the brightest all of the time. It doesn't disqualify them from being used. We're studying the book of Daniel on Sunday. Daniel was an incredibly bright young man. Didn't disqualify him that he was bright. But God doesn't use just the bright. Sometimes He uses the stupid. And sometimes He uses the stupid to bring incredible glory to His name, because people scratch their head and go, I don't understand what's happening here. God, you know, this must be God, because I know it's not Him. That's why I believe the Bible says that God chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and that the city of Nazareth would be chosen. Today, it is the birthplace of Jesus, and today people avoid it. When you go to Israel, you'll say, well, are we going to go by? See, when we take tours over there, people say, are we going to go by Nazareth? Yeah, we're going to drive through it as fast as we can. That's about how quickly we'll move through Nazareth because there's nothing to see in the city of Nazareth. You get on the little microphone on the bus and you tell the story of Gabriel appearing to Mary while you're driving through, stuck in the traffic jam in Nazareth. It was that way in their day as well. And he appears to a virgin, verse 27, betrothed to a man whose name is Joseph. Now, he appears to a virgin. Isaiah 7:14. And behold, I give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. Because we have discovered that Isaiah 7:14 was in Isaiah before Jesus was ever born. It was always argued that it was added in afterwards, but since the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered and a complete copy of the book of Isaiah was discovered with Isaiah 7:14 in it, now they say, well, the word for virgin really isn't the word for a virgin like we think of it today. The word for virgin is the word for young girl. That's all that it is in the Hebrew. It's just young girl, and that's it. So when Isaiah 7:14 says, and behold, I give you a sign, a young girl shall conceive and bear a child. You should call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Now, if that were the case, let's just say you're right. It's kind of like Bonnie, you know, the word Bonnie, or like the word lass, or you know, young girl, whatever. You're right. Why did God say, and behold, I give you a sign? A girl's going to conceive and bring forth a child. How is that a sign? It's not a sign. Young girls get pregnant all of the time. Girls get pregnant out of wedlock all of the time. Young girls who are married, young women who are married, get pregnant all of the time. And so it's not a sign. When he says, behold, I give you a sign, something spectacular is going to follow. And the word there is the word for virgin. The only reason that they can say that is because the references of the Old Testament that were used for this word were used for young girls who were virgins. And so they say, well, see, these virgins were young girls, but they were all virgins. And the idea, the concept is that a virgin was going to conceive, and she was betrothed. Now, betrothed, it is different than engagement. It is a little bit more stringent. You are actually considered to be married when you're betrothed. You actually have to have a divorce. There's got to be a legal action taken in order to have a separation after betrothal. But you actually were waiting for the bridegroom to come and take the bride in order for them to be married. So they remained apart sexually during that time. It says, to a virgin betrothed to a man by the name of Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. So we're introduced to Joseph and Mary here. What we're going to find out as we make our way through the book of Luke about these young people, and they are very young, is that both of them have an incredible commitment to God. Both of them have an understanding of the Scriptures. Both of them have a right relationship with God. I believe that Mary and Joseph ought to be used more often to encourage young people to make their lives right, to walk right with God, and to see what God will do. Here's this young girl in Nazareth, Joseph living in Nazareth, and having come in, the angel said to her,